I would like to invite you to turn to today's New Testament reading, which is one that we also read last week. It's Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Later on, we'll be referencing a verse that I'm also going to read, which is Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. I'll read both of those now if you'd like to follow along in your own Bible or device, or if you'd like to take a pew Bible from in front of you. Matthew 6, 9 through 13 says, "Pray then in this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial." And then in Mark chapter 12, we read, "One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, 'Which commandment is the first of all?' Jesus answered, 'The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.'" I love science, and I don't say that to impress you because I don't know much about it. I just love it. I'm subscribed to several Facebook pages that update me on the latest scientific findings, and it's quite impressive, actually, when you dive into these things and learn what scientists have discovered in the past year alone. It's pretty incredible. An international team of 32 scientists found a new continent last year in the South Pacific. Did you know that? Now, your textbook is still correct. They haven't told us there is another continent that we start teaching our kids, but they have found another continent underneath the ocean, which I thought is pretty incredible. This is also incredible. Researchers created a first-of-its-kind artificial womb that could one day help premature babies grow. So they haven't, of course, used it in human trials yet, but they've been able to successfully help other animals grow. It's an artificial womb, and that has major implications for us as well, perhaps down the road. I admit I'm most excited about findings in outer space. Okay, so I'll come home sometimes and say, "Hey, Valerie, did you know they found another black hole?" And she'll say, "Okay." But NASA last year found 7 new planets that might be habitable to alien life. We don't know that. There's a lot more research that has to be done, but they found 7 new planets that were not too hot and not too cold, had a rocky terrain. So they're going to do further study on those. And I think this one's really impressive. A Chinese computer scientist, or a group of Chinese computer scientists, made a quantum leap into teleportation. They literally teleported a particle or a photon from here on Earth into outer space. Now, I don't know what kind of implications that has. If you Star Trek geeks are thinking, "Oh my goodness, the day has come. We can finally say, 'Beam me up, Scotty,' and it's going to happen." We're maybe getting a little ahead of ourselves. They're more thinking this has effects on the ways that we do computers and share data and things such as that. But who knows? Keep dreaming. That's been true of space for a while, isn't it? Space is that great unknown. It's that final frontier. There's so much we don't know about it, and yet we continue to learn more and more. The more that we learn about our universe and our galaxy and even down to our solar system, we learn these great truths, and they even lead to very practical things here on Earth. Once again, I'm not qualified to tell you what those things might be. But science has its place. These discoveries, they lead us to discover some of the most deep, most complex realities of space and of time and really of the entirety of the cosmos. Colonel James Irwin, if you recognize that name, was the 8th astronaut to walk on the moon, on Apollo 15. And astronaut Irwin, Colonel Irwin, saw Earth as few people have. He felt the awesome presence of God and experienced firsthand evidence that showed how intricately God cares for us. And because of that extraordinary life-changing event where he went to the moon and could see Earth from that perspective, he came away with this profound sense of responsibility for all of mankind. Yes, the science and what he was studying there and his observations were important, but he felt deeply touched that he had a much deeper responsibility to the people here on Earth. Despite how important those moon missions and ultimately scientific discovery of any kind is, Irwin would go on to say, "Jesus walking on the earth is more important than man walking on the moon." That quote stuck with me, and I think to this day that truth remains, that Jesus' presence on earth, Jesus coming to be with us and walking with us on this earth, remains more important than any man walking on the moon or any man walking on Mars perhaps 20 or 30 years down the road, or maybe even further and further down the road, finding out, visiting planets from other solar systems if we ever get that far. Jesus walking on the earth is more important than all of those scientific discoveries that we may have already found and those that may lie before us. That Jesus' presence on the earth remains more important than man on the moon. It reminds us that the goal of creation, the goal of why we are here, the meaning of why we are here, is not discovering gravitational waves or black holes or landing on Mars, as cool and as I think those are. It's not about discovering every detail of our brain or our heart or our lungs, although we of course need to continue to study those things. Despite how important all of those things are, God's mission, and ultimately our mission, is to see the kingdom of God come forth all around us. To come to the understanding that Christ's coming to earth and Christ walking with us has brought forth a new kingdom in our world, and that we are a part of that ever-expanding kingdom, and that ever-important kingdom of God is why we are here. Today, when we prayed the Lord's Prayer together, we said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Your kingdom come, your will be done. That phrase is almost simultaneously easy to understand, but there's also a great mystery about it as well. Because Jesus tells us about the kingdom. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. No, my kingdom is from another place." And so in one way, Jesus tells us a profound truth that his kingdom is not of this world. And yet Jesus also says about the kingdom of God, you won't be able to say, "Here it is, it's over there," for the kingdom of God is already among you. So Jesus says it's not of this world, and yet the kingdom is also among us. In Matthew, Jesus says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's not something we can glance out and see, and yet it's among us. It is part of us. It is who we are, and it is what we are doing. The kingdom of God is not of this world. It's not something only in the moment, and yet we need to grasp it. We need to grasp the kingdom of God. And quite frankly, that's a pretty tall task, isn't it? For us to pray and to ask Jesus to help us grasp this kingdom of God and to understand it and to live it out, it's not as easy, I think, as when we say it in the Lord's Prayer. Like earlier when Valerie said, "I'm just doing my duty. I'm just reciting the prayer." There are implications here beyond simply reciting the prayer. We are to live out this task, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We earlier read a passage in Mark 12 where Jesus was speaking with some of the scribes about what the greatest commandment is, perhaps even what is most important in this world is maybe a better way to phrase it. And Jesus said, of course, to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the teacher went on to say, Yes, that's true. And that's even more important than these burnt offerings. To hear Jesus say, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," should tell us something. When we pray and pray and pray and seek to figure out what is the will of God, what is the kingdom of God, Jesus tells us that we're not far from the kingdom of God in this two-phrase summation: love the Lord your God with everything you have, and love your neighbor in the same way that you would love yourself. In some ways, we've just jumped from, or perhaps we've even done a quantum teleportation, from the kingdom of God being tough to understand and tough to grasp, and now being almost simple. Not simple to apply. Not that it's not difficult to know how to love God and how to love our neighbor in the best possible way. That's difficult sometimes to know how to apply. But when someone asks us, "What's the kingdom of God? What does it mean for us to ask, 'Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, your kingdom come,'" we can point to what Jesus says is not far from the kingdom of God first and foremost. In some ways, that's simpler and easier to understand than having many documents of telling us how to live our lives. It reminds us that the kingdom of God is not something like a constitution or a rule book or a rule of law or bylaws or even a confession of faith or a creed. The kingdom is, in its simplest form, about love. God's kingdom is love. It's the beginning and the end of what we are here to do. And for us, that means seeking the next phrase, "Your will be done." We want God's kingdom to be here, and then we also ask for God's will to be done through us. I don't know if you have ever been asked the question or posed the question, "What is God's will for your life?" What is God's will for your life? I think that's something we're always asking. And I think we also believe sometimes that there is one specific answer to that question. There is some will of God for our lives that we have to find out, whether we pray enough or we study enough. We're going to find it somewhere. We're going to find it at some point. And yet, I think that God is telling us that as long as we are seeking His face, as long as we are seeking to love Him and to love each other as we love ourselves, then we are living out God's will in our communities. Yes, there are things that you may be called to more than others. You may have been given specific gifts that will enable you to live out God's call in your life more effectively than others. But I don't think that God has laid out before us an exact formula or an exact path that we have to follow. I believe God gives us choice. God gives us freedom to be able to live out His call on our lives. I sometimes think of it best, or I read once, and I wish I could attribute it to a particular author, I don't remember who. It sometimes may be best to think of God's will for our lives like a stream or a river. God is constantly leading us towards a goal. God is constantly leading us towards fulfillment in Him. God is constantly leading this world towards reconciliation and all things becoming new through Christ. And there may be rocks and sticks and dams there in the river or stream, but somehow that water continues to go around or to go over. No matter what the rocks and the sticks and the tributaries in your life are, and no matter which direction they may take you, as long as you are in God's will, you will ultimately end up at the end of that river or stream. Serving God, asking God to make the kingdom of God known through you by loving God and loving others. Prayer and discernment is certainly a part of that. It's not always easy to know which direction to go. In the Scriptures, we're told that when we become followers of Christ, we are given gifts by the Spirit to live out God's call in our lives, and those gifts come in many forms. Some of us are called to see the kingdom of God come forth by serving or by teaching. Some of us are asking that God's will would be done through our showing of hospitality or through giving or generosity or by prophecy or faith or wisdom, just to name a few. And so we are called by the Spirit to use these gifts to show our love of God and love of neighbors. God's will for your life is where you can individually work to see the kingdom of God come. Hence, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we pray that God is guiding us and that God is bringing this great kingdom down to our level that we can understand, that we can see bursting forth around us. In 1987, Belinda Carlisle released a song called what? Heaven is a Place on Earth. That was not before my time. I was actually 4 years old. But I don't remember the song from back then. The lyrics to the song say, they say in heaven love comes first, we'll make heaven a place on earth. Ooh, heaven is a place on earth. Now, Belinda Carlisle was not talking about the kingdom of God in that song, in case you didn't gather that already. But I got to say, those lyrics pretty much hit on what Jesus is asking us to do. When we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it is true that in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God, love is first. Love is the greatest commandment. And we are seeking to bring a taste of heaven to earth as we live out God's call on our lives. The Christian life is not about getting us somewhere after we die. Although we certainly have faith that because we place our trust in Jesus Christ, that we will, of course, walk with him eternally, and we have great hope for that. But in this prayer, Jesus is saying, your kingdom come on earth in the same way it's going to be in heaven. And so when we gather as a church family, when we worship together, when we form community together, when we live out the gospel in here and in our neighborhoods, we are truly seeking to convey a glimpse of heaven. Think about that as you go about your week. If you hear the song, Heaven is a Place on Earth, from Belinda Carlisle, yeah, maybe you'll hear some of the lyrics and realize it's more about physical love. But the truth of the title of this song is, quite frankly, what we are setting out to do. And Belinda Carlisle didn't come up with it first. Jesus says, love God and love your neighbor. And when you do so, when you believe and live out that truth, you are not far from the kingdom of God. I become excited about what we're going to discover through science in the years ahead. We'll discover new medical truths. We'll discover new things about space. We'll uncover artifacts. Let me throw something in I meant to throw in at the beginning, that they found what they believe to be a stamp or a seal of Isaiah the prophet, which I think is pretty exciting, just a couple of weeks ago. That being said, we're going to discover some major things in the years ahead, our scientists and our archaeologists and our historians, our mathematicians. But will they be as important as this clause of the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven? No, they are not. We have the truth of heaven. We have the truth of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And so while we will always seek to discover these truths of the physical universe around us, it is more important for us to dig deeper and deeper and deeper and find the truths of the kingdom of God that we can live out at First Baptist Church and in Black Mountain. I think there's more to discover for us as a church family. And I look forward to the discoveries that we will perhaps even unintentionally stumble upon as we seek to do God's work here in this city. Let's pray together.